told me that he doesn't have access to a phone to call me with, you know, with a system that would allow him to call Israel. I guess he doesn't want to burden his sister. But all right, we can begin a world to do today. First of all, today is Sunday, December 23rd, 2018. And Baruch Hashem, in Israel, we do not know the significance of these days.
No, I think it's the 22nd.
The 23rd, Herbie. According to my watch, and if Casio is off, then we have to sue a major Japanese or Chinese. Where is
Japanese.
It from? Japanese. All right, someone's angesund. I just want to begin this year, and it's not good news, and I want to use the Chabad term. I want to dedicate this year to one of our dear students, Steve Bressler. It should be a schut from whatever Divrei Torah we say, whatever sources we quote. He came back from America with pneumonia, and that developed in what they tell me Legionnaire disease. And he's in intensive care in Shaarei Tzedek. And I want to give you his name. Everyone should daven for him, Shlomo Zalman Ben Yetta. And my relationship with Steve, as you know, he's been in this year quite a few years already. It's an interesting story. He davened Friday night for 45 years. I had a minyan I organized at the Kotel, a Kabbalah Shabbat minyan in 1969.
I was with you
in that. Right, many, and it really was wonderful. Unfortunately, we grow older, and I had my cousin Bobby, and Bobby and I both were knocked out at the same time. Our feet went on us, meniscus. Bobby subsequently has had knee replacements, I understand. But all right, I'm functioning, but I can't walk 45 minutes anymore. You know, each way was 45 minutes coming home. My wife might give me a lift, but it was still 20 minutes. And I walked 20, 25 minutes, but 45, I'm afraid. So I knew Steve from the minyan, but he really didn't know me. I was just the minyan. He was visiting his daughter in West Hempstead, and I spoke there years ago. He heard me speak, and he made up his mind. He's going to come to my shiurim, and as you know, Monday he's in Eish HaTorah, but Sunday he was here faithfully, and my heart goes out there. Ribbon Shlomo should give me a foolish shlema.
I repeat. The guy you used to sit here?
Yeah. Shmuel, I repeat again. Shlomo Zalman Ben Yetla, a foolish shlema. Okay, now, just a comment on two emails I got. Very interesting emails. One is from Jordan Bass, and he tells me how he was so happy I mentioned Tells. I don't even know which year I mentioned it, this year, the other year, but I mentioned Tells, and he told me that he became from my parents are Balei Tshuva. Tells is the first place I learned Torah, having studied Mishnayos, Seder Moed at the yeshiva for my bar mitzvah, the Tells of Bacha. And he tells me about the Rosh Hashiva who just died, Rav Abraham Chaim Levine. He used to tell him over my comments on the Rav Shmuel Volk, my Rebbe. So one time I made a comment that Rav Shmuel Volk got very upset with Tells in Cleveland of today. And he wants to know what the details are. I believe I said the details maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago, but I'll repeat it very quickly. Is one time, you got to remember, in the 1950s, Tells was a very famous high school. It attracted students from all over the Western world, students who wanted more than just MTA. For instance, I can give you many examples. There was a Dr. Alan Goldstein, Zichrono Levracha, who later was the Rav's personal doctor. He was my classmate. So he went to high school in Tells. Very nice. He went to high school in Tells. Someone that Jitz knew very well, Rabbi Aaron Bat, a little tzaddik, you have no idea who Aaron, God should watch the family. They've paid a very heavy price. A grandson was killed in the Merkaz HaRab massacre. His son-in-law, Rabbi Mark, was killed. His daughter was very badly injured in that terrorist attack. God have mercy what we go through. So he also went to Tells for high school, if my memory is correct, I believe it is. So There were always kids in YU had gone to Tel's High School. So one time after Shia, one of the fellows in the Shia, and these were already junior, seniors in college, Rabok was my Rebbe, right before I was a freshman and sophomore in college, and then I went into the Rav Shia. There were, the rest of the class was juniors and seniors. So one time, a kid went over there after class to give him a shtach, to give him a dig. And he says, Rebbe, this is all in Yiddish. I'm living it in Yiddish. I'll try to say it in English. He says, Rebbe, what do you think what they decided in Tel's? And Rav Volkman, what do you mean? In Cleveland, they made two decisions last week. No, let me head in. Rav Volkman, let me hear what the decisions are. One decision was that if your wife didn't wear a sheitel, you can't get smicha from Tel's. The second decision was if you go to college, you can't get smicha from Tel's. Rav Volk got hysterical. Oh boy, did he jump, did he yell, did he shout. And das ist nicht Tel's, and das heißt nicht Tel's, und was geht das Satzsache? And you understand, he was coming from Europe. Tel's in Europe was like a reform yeshiva. All the other yeshivas, I'll get to it in my lectures, God should spare me a few years from now. It was very innovative. It had a school for girls, it had a gymnasium, it had a regular high school degree. Rabbi Lichtenstein's mother, who was a genius, Blume Schwartz, she grew up in Tel's. I mean, there are reasons why a Rabbarin became Rabbarin. And so he was hysterical. Also, you have to know in Lithuania, many of the women didn't cover their hair, the married women. Listen, leave it for another time. Rakevet has to make a living. At least I can give lectures that no one else knows. Baruch Hashem, how they did it, why they did it. But this was part of the Lithuanian atmosphere. I can still remember Rav Shmuel Belkin speaking about it. I remember the Rav. All right, there's a lot to say, but it's not for now. Tell me, your father, your uncle, that generation, the women, they covered their hair?
I don't think so.
What?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? All right, I don't want you
to... small
churches, but yeah, not... Yeah, no, Yaitse Zion. That was an American, a little pressure, but... I don't want to get into trouble, but a well-known scholar created evidence. I once got a call with Rav Shach's son. He wanted, let's not even talk about it. He wanted me to go to my friend Effie Shach and get him to put into writing that his mother did not cover her hair in Lithuania. And I wrote back to him, I said, there's nothing I can do now. My dear friend Effie is critically ill. The last thing in the world, he died shortly thereafter. Last thing in the world, I want to bother him about this. But all right, so Rav Volk got hysterical. So that's the answer to your question, what happened. Then I want to go one step further. An email from Henry Silverman, why you graduate of Fine Talmud Chacham. And he says to me, why are you so upset with Panovich, where they're fighting with each other and killing each other, figuratively speaking? Didn't they do that in Volozhin? Didn't they do that in the Tel's? Wasn't the ringleader in Tel's, Rav Kahaneman, who later, it's Rav Shlomo Yosef Kahneman, I believe was his name. He says Avram Kahneman. Avram Kahneman is his son, it's not the father. But the true, we'll get to it in my lectures. And he quotes Shaul Stampfer, Professor Stampfer. You don't have to quote Professor Stampfer, you heard it from me. I'm the one that first spoke about this back in 69 when I introduced the course in Modern Torah History in the school that just began that year, BMT. I'm well aware what happened in Volozhin, well aware what happened in Tel's, and nevertheless, I'm very upset that it's happening again in Panovich. And here in Panovich, it's worse than ever. At least in Tel's and Volozhin, I never heard that they beat up a Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Berman had to be taken to the hospital. I mean, this is a fact. So I have a right to be upset. Let me go one step further and make a comment, and then back to the real McCoy. A comment on contemporary Israel, the whole question of Giyus Haredim. And again, a lot can be said on this issue. But I just want to comment on the Rosh Yeshiva of Ne'er Yisrael, Rabbi Avram Feldman, Aharon Feldman, who was a good friend of Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. They were together in Baltimore as little kids for a brief period. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein wrote about it in Jewish Action. And Rabbi Aaron Feldman was brought back from Israel. to head up the yeshiva in Israel. So he got caught up in the big argument that they now brought to America. Why they bring it to America is beyond me. No one, unfortunately, no one is drafting the Ne'er Yisrael boys. If Rakepin had his way, every Jewish youth 18 years of age, if he lives in China, if he lives in Uganda, if he lives in Siberia, or Tinek, has to report to the Israeli draft board. I still have no way to understand the Rambam otherwise. Milchemet Mitzvah, every Jew is obligated to fight. And if you don't believe me, Rabbi Lichtenstein wrote an article that appeared in Tradition in the early 80s on this very topic with this very exact same conclusion. Anyway, so Rabbi Feldman just issued a letter. Well, I don't want to go into details, but one thing he said, they want to draft the yeshiva boys to turn them into Israelis. Wrong. They want to draft the yeshiva boys to turn them into Haredi Israelis. What we are privileged to have today is that you no longer have to take off your yarmulke, your beard, your payas, your bekesher, your shtreimel to succeed on the Israeli scene. When we came in Aliyah, television just began in 68, so we came the second year there was television. It was very primitive. You never saw a religious Jew on television. Today, you listen to the news, here they have a reporter with payas, here they have a woman with a shaitel, here they have a woman with a tichel. Mainstream. Look at Yedia this past Friday, and no one will accuse Yedia d'Achronot, which unfortunately is the most popular paper in Israel. It still outsells and out-circulates Yisrael Hayom, but not by much, which is a miracle in itself. And as much as no one accused them of being pro-religion, Friday's paper, I couldn't believe how many articles there were on Haredi Jews, positive articles. Haredim today are in the army. Haredim today are lo aleinu. You know what we went through last week with the massacre at the bus stop, at the place where you wait for a lift in Ofra, Hashem Yerachem, and Haredi businessman, etc., etc. All right, let's pick up. My dear students, we have spent... And so, underline, yes, we quote Rakefet, we want to mainstream the Haredi world to become Haredi Israelis. And Ashreinu Shezachinu, we see it today with hundreds. Hundreds have led to thousands. And within a few years, you're going to see it with tens of thousands. And within 10 years, you're going to see it with hundreds of thousands.
But one day, you're going to have a Haredi chief of staff.
Be'ezrat Hashem, That's what Ben Gurion said. We have to have a Yemenite chief of staff. We never achieved the Yemenite, but we've had Moroccans. We've had Baruch Hashem.
You've gotten out of
Morocco. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Now, so we see that here is Moshe. We just spoke about you this morning. We're trying to figure out how we can utilize your abilities constructively for Am Yisrael, the Kavod Ulitiferet. So we see that Rabbi Moshe Klein, are you a guest? Are you on the Kollel? Are you a guest? Okay, so if you're going to come, you tell me your name after class, I'll add it to the list. Okay, so we picked up the whole question of the computer and checking the Sifrei Torah, and believe it or not, in a Chumash that has been printed by hundreds of thousands over the years on Shabbat, a printed Chumash, I found the same word twice. I showed it to Malka. I said, maybe I'm not seeing right. We couldn't believe it. The word is repeated. No one has corrected it. Right there in the Chumash, I think it's L, the exact word repeated twice. So you see, and I showed Malka how many times I've held Pashat Shmot in my hand, and I never spotted it. You read what you want to read. So Reb Menashe Klein was totally opposed to a computer, and the Satmaruv, it's not the real Satmarav, not Reb Yoel, but Reb Yoel's nephew, Reb Meish, I believe his name was, and he contacts the Reb Menashe Klein. Look at the headlines. If you don't computer check your Sifrei Torah, how many were checked? Hundreds, only 18 were found good. How can you make a bracha? And Rabbi Moshe Klein says, Chas v'chalila, to change the Masorah, to change the tradition, to change everything that's gone on until now. A Sefer Torah is checked by human eyes, and don't bring a computer into it. And that's Rabbi Moshe Klein, 100%. No, what do you think? There's no machlokes here. And here I want to thank my student, very interesting what I'm going to show you, and the source, the tour. I want to thank a student, I don't know his last name, Avram Yehoshua. He constantly is machkim et rabo, and he sent me the source once through the trouble of Xeroxing. And here's the source. First of all, let's talk a little bit about the Bavav. Bavav is very big today. It's not big outside of Israel, outside of America, basically. It's big in Borough Park and Flatbush. Maybe there's a drop in Williamsburg. It began on the west side of New York. The Bavav dynasty. Bavav Halberstam. Reb Shlomo Halberstam. He arrived in New York. Udmut Salmayesh. I don't think he had a beard. His whole family was wiped out, the whole Bavav dynasty, all of what Hitler did to us. And I don't even think he wanted to be a rabbi. I think the story was he came to New York, he was a salesman, whatever. They'll fill me in, people listening will know exactly. But people knew him on the Upper West Side. And then a few chassidim survived, and they were in business, and they did well, and they pleaded with him to take on the rebbeship. He was the one, the only survivor with the proper yichus. So he took on the rebbeship, a handful of Bavav chassidim. Today it's thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, property worth millions, endless millions of dollars. The machloket, unbelievable, all of you know what went on. The Reb Shlomo Halberstam lived into his 90s. But he died, and then his son, no one outlived him very long. And then the third generation, tremendous machloket between the grandson and the grandson-in-law. Bavav, the machloket was so bitter that b'didei haviyuda, what I'm telling you, I don't have to quote anyone, these eyes, these ears. My wife and I took a walk Shabbos morning in Borough Park, because I always daven early, as early as you can. There are not too many early minyanim. Chassidim don't know what it means to wake up early and daven and learn. But okay, so we took a walk to Bavav to see Borough Park, feel it. And there are police cars outside the shul and... There's a police lady leaning against the police car. So, listen, Shem Zechnish, we go over and say, pardon me, officer, but what are you doing here? We're guests, we're visiting from Jerusalem. Hold a minute, a non-Jew, here's Jerusalem. They don't know what to do for you. So the police officer says, well, I have to tell you a sad story. Last week in the synagogue, they were throwing chairs at each other. There was a riot here. So today we wanted to get here early in case anything happens. We're on the spot. All of you know it went to court. There was a judge who pleaded with them. These are well-known stories. I hope I'm not telling you what you know. But the judge, a Jewish judge, said to them, why are you coming to me, he said, when I was appointed a judge, I went to see a great Rebbe in this neighborhood, and he told me, you're going to be a wonderful judge, but there are certain cases that will come before you, send them to the rabbis to adjudicate. It's not for a secular court. Would you like to know the name of that Rebbe? Reb Shlomo Halberstam, the Bavav Rebbe. And he said, you don't belong in court, you belong in a Beit Din. Anyway, years the machloket went on. Knew how did they solve it? My dear students, let me bring you up to date. There's Bavav 45 and Bavav 48. Dog, you know what I'm talking about? 45th Street and 48th Street. Two different Bavav synagogues, two different rebbeim. No more machloket, property being split, debating, they worked it out, Baruch Hashem. Now, Reb Shlomo Halberstam, and this was 19, he went and he sent me a second email with the exact dates, because I had the printout, but I didn't know the source. 1989, the Bavav visited London, the Bavav Rebbe, because in London there were a number of Bavav Chassidim, they organized the shtibble, and they had a Hachnasat Sefer Torah. And they brought the Bavav Rebbe from America to London. There is in London, those of you following the news, even right now, there's a lot of Hasidic outposts in London, beyond Bells. Bells is very big in Europe. But now there's a little Vishnitz, there's a little Ger, etc. There's Bavav, and Saturday at the Chachnasat Sefer Torah Matzai Shabbat, the Bavav Rebbe spoke, and what I'm going to quote to you was from that speech. It was later published in what's called Kerem Shlomo, and that was a collection of all the Bavav Rebbe's talks, and it's in the Chelek Sheni, beginning on page Reish Samach Zion. And here's his talk. In the middle he says, and now I'd like to add, the Rebbe says something about Sefer Torah, and I want the public to hear my words. I want, if I need upsell, the Orea, I want to arouse the public to this. Why? We all know that Sefer Torah constantly found to be pasul. The minute you have Sefer Torah psulim, and it's a mir tanika, again, halakhically speaking, this is what the Yomo referred to with checking for insects on vegetables. I didn't know Yomo has had a rich career from the Ukraine to Brooklyn to Jerusalem. He worked as a mashgiach. What am I leaving out? Why you? Some Zayin Gesund. Brooklyn includes Washington Heights too. It's okay. And he had a unit. So he said he checked. What did the mashgiachim use? A light. He's getting me very upset. They used the light box. Fine, but he said they didn't check all the letters, right or wrong. How much did you check? You had to check out of every batch how many leaves. So why did they check that? I understand. I know what he said. I check every leaf. I don't. This, but if you don't find, if you find one out of 100, you don't have to worry about it. There's a cheskat kashrut. It's a miyat she'enanika. But if you find 10 out of 100, again, what did they tell you? What's the percentage? The OU, I know, has a percentage. The vadat
hakashrut says
10%. So I just said 10 out of 100. But baruch shekivanti ledas gedaylim. Baruch Hashem. Okay, good. But if you find 10 out of 100, it loses the cheskat kashrut, and you have to check everything, or you can't use. They'll push away that batch of letters, sell it to the non-Jews. We can't use it. All right, fine. It's same thing with Sifrei Torah. You can't say it's a mere chain or nika. In my shul now, in my little minion, in the shtibel, in the Ohel Rivka, there are 3 Sifrei Torah, 1 is pasul. They haven't fixed it yet. It's going to be a big job to fix, because there's no way to fix it. You have to take out and rewrite that whole section because an entire word is missing. So there's really no way you can fix it. And I don't know what they're waiting for, but you all know that when Gatman the Gatel, you know the story with the Rav, someone once rebuked him for not wearing a Gatel, and the Rav said, the only ones I know that wear a Gatel are Sifrei Torah that are psulim. At least that's what they attribute to the Rav. I wasn't there, so I can't vouch for it, but it's a sharp, brisker answer. So once you find Sifrei Torah, there's no cheskat kashrut. And he says, and remember, what are we talking about here? That we're talking about a bracha levatala. What do we mean, a bracha levatala? We're talking about God's name. Chas v'chalila, you're taking God's name in vain. And these are Sifrei Torah, and you want to say a cheskas kashrut. We don't have a cheskas kashrut. Not right. And he says, now we have a wonderful invention that God has granted us. What is that invention? The computer. And he says it's absolutely forbidden today to read from a Sefer Torah that has not been computer checked. And he says, I rejoice, I want you to know that in the Bava Vestibule, all the Sifrei Torah were checked and corrected, and now we can make brachot without any fikpuk, without any doubt, without any hesitation. Baruch Hashem, thank God for the computer. Michael, this is the Bubba Varevi. This is speaking in public. But now I want to ask you a question. Ribbono shel Olam, if you take this approach, it means all of Yiddishkeit that came before us, we have to throw out. For thousands of years, people read from a Sefer Torah. The Chofetz Chaim read from a made a bracha over a Sefer Torah. Rav Chaim Isaac Grzynski made a bracha over a Sefer Torah. I don't know. Chacham Ovadji Yosef in Egypt made a bracha over a Sefer Torah. Herbie Maltz in Newark in the old days, then in Elizabeth, made a bracha over a Sefer Torah. What is the Bava Rebbe saying here? This is shocking. This is frightening. No, in London, they didn't make bracha over Sifrei Torah 50, 60, 70 years ago. Hi, gentlemen, and lady. Let me let you in a secret. We are Torah Jews. I'll talk about Rakefet. Rakefet believes all his heart the Torah has never changed. This is the Torah. He will debate with reform and conservative and innovators. So how can you have an approach like this? But you see, there is a concept. I'll give you a simple example. Yerushalayim. A lady is pregnant. You know, the halacha is she has to fast on Tisha B'Av. Has to fast on Yom Kippur. Ask the poskim. You'll see today there's an infinitely more lenient attitude towards people breaking the fast, Tisha B'Av, even Yom Kippur, person sick. Years ago they would have ruled one way, today they rule a different way. I don't want to go any further, but you'll see Briska. All I can tell you is someone I knew very well, you knew him too, Rabbi Weinberg. So one time he had a headache on a minor fast day, and he said to the Rav, he was the assistant dean in Maimonides, he said to the Rav, Rabbi Hananya Weinberg, if I have his first name right, I believe, Charles, it was Charles in English. Am I right, Yitz, do you remember?
It's after my time.
It's after you mean his name, but you knew him. He's older. He's gone already. He's old, much older than us. So Rabbi Hananya Weinberg, so the Rav told him, you must drink coffee, break the fast, and I came to Yerushalayim. I met Briska eating fast days. So yeah, what's going on here? And the answer is very simple. We've grown weaker. The generation has gone down. See, on one hand, we look at our generations, well, we're so much smarter than the early generations. But the truth is we have grown weaker. I can prove it to you very easily. No one here ever shared a bed in his life. Right or wrong? You don't realize what I'm saying. I went to school with kids who remembered in Europe they shared a bed with their brother. Food. What we eat today, what's going on with the kosher fest in America. They almost declared a fast day because a rumor was spreading that Entenmann's is losing its hashgacha. Right or wrong? Oh my gosh. Bathrooms. My mother, Zichrona Levracha, was just her yahrzeit. I used to say to her mom, she lived almost 100 years, 98 years. Halavai should have my mother's genes. So stupid people say to me, boy, you have genes. I said, yeah, but I also had a father. See, that they forget about. I've outlived Baruch Hashem. Let me not talk about it, but I've outlived my father by many years. But my mother lived 98. So we asked her many times, Mom, what was the greatest change that you saw in your life? Bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Bathrooms. I still remember seeing bathrooms outdoors on the east side of New York in tenement housing. We are mafunakim. We eat three meals a day. We have bathrooms. We travel. What does travel mean? It's easier to go to London than to go to Haifa. You understand? You get on the plane, 3 hours later, you're in the Heathrow. Let's not talk about Gatwick because you're not going to get anywhere if you have to go there today. My dear students, this is a halakhic concept that affects us in many different areas. The generations have changed. And the Baba of a Rebbe evidently realized, Chaim, that Rakefet is going to question him. So he refers you to the Torah, Yoredeya Kuf Pei Gimel Hilchot Nida. Now, the Torah is a little hard. In the new editions, I think they break it down better. I'm citing from a standard edition of the Torah, at least I hope so. It's on page Hay. And here the Torah says he's dealing with the whole lineage of Ziva and Nida and Ziva. Again, I can't go into much detail, but all of you know this is a very interesting sugya. May Dindi Oraita, generally speaking, a woman only has to count 7 days. She becomes a Nida, and it's a total of 7 days, basically. When she's Mapsik Patara, you don't have to add on 7 days, you may Tahara. But a Ziva has to add on 7 days, Sfirat, you may Tahara. So today, we can't differentiate so easily between Nida, Ziva. We're not the experts we used to be. We've lost this knowledge. So every woman, every woman counts Shivanikiyam. And that's what we're talking about here. And listen to this. This is the Torah speaking. This is not a later achron. Meshirabu hagoliyot v'takfu hatzarot v'nitamtu halavavot chashu shema yavoa litot b'isa karet. They were chashish. People are not what they used to be. We have many things on our mind. We don't have menuchat hanefesh. This is true. Who has menuchat hanefesh? Can you have menuchat hanefesh? Even today, sitting in Yerushalayim, what we go through, what happened Friday down south, what's happening up north, what's happening in Yehuda v'Shomran, can you have menuchat hanefesh? And President Trump, and pulling out of Syria, and Turkey, and the Kurds, Kurdistan, that's why I tell all my students, my children, my grandchildren, I say, you just daven to Ribbono Shel Olam, let him take care of it. Yom will get mad at me because I always tell him, you have to act on your own. Yes, you have to act on your own. What do you mean act on your own? You're paying the politicians. They're your government. They know all the secrets. They have to make their decisions. Let them worry about it. Let the Ribbono Shel Olam worry about them. Your job is just to daven and to learn and to be a Ben Torah and make a living and be good to your wife and children. This is true, but takfu hatzarat, nitma'atu alavavat. Our hearts, remember, we're living in a world where today we are considered the kolel, we're talmidei chachamim, ribbono shel olam, you shiver and shake. Mori Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, nukala Torah kula, when he went to Berlin already. The man, what he knew, what you take the Chofetz Chaim, you take the earlier generations, the stories that are told, the eyewitnesses who testify. Today, if we know Shasim Paiskim by the age of 80, we're doing well. Notice in the Haredi world, no one becomes a Gadol Hadar until he's well over 80. And I have to tell you, Dov, that's wonderful. We have suffered from Gadolei Hadar younger, and I needn't elaborate. And we don't have that same ability. There'll be matir anita when she's really a zava, and it's a nisa karait. So we're machmir all the time. So the Baba Rebbe says, if this is the case, halacha lemaisa, it's not that we're looking back negatively on the generations that came before us. They were greater, they were smarter, they had more ability. Nitma'atu hadarat. And in the year 2019, absolutely do a computer check on your Sefer Torah. And that's the source he quotes, and it has great implications right down the line. And I have to tell you, I'm guilty as charged. When I get shilas today, I'm much more makil with the fast days and pregnant women and nursing women, much more makil than I was 60 years ago as a novice in the rabbinate. And this is part of it. And look at your own body. Nitma'atu hadarat. And I can prove it many, many ways over. I told my youngest daughter, called after Shabbos, my daughter's called after Shabbos, how are you, this and that. And I told my daughter, we're going out. We went out last night, I'm Lava Malka with friends of ours, Rabbanim just moved. Very nice evening. So my daughter said, what, you're going out? It's so cold out. I look at Ribbono Shel Olam. She's right, it is cold. But I grew up in New York. But this is cold compared to the way it is in New York. Jack grew up in Toronto. This is cold compared to Toronto. And then you compare this to Montreal. Moscow, Montreal and Moscow are supposedly the same. But you see, it's what you get used to. Nitma'atu hadarat. Michael is living here many years. By the way, the other people, one of the people there is a rabbi in Philadelphia. I don't know details. He's a convert, Orthodox conversion. He's a Reconstructionist. He got the smicha in a Reconstructionist school. He's in Northeast Philadelphia where Rabbi Arnold Feldman was. Do you remember that name? Yeah. What kind of shul is that today?
It's a, what it used to be, I don't know what exactly what it is, but it was a mixture between neo-Orthodoxy and right-wing conservative.
Right-wing conservative.
They had three sets of seating.
Hey, Vanti. Okay.
Men, women.
And Smix.
And together.
And together. Interesting. Because he was a hot shot in the...
traditional show.
Uh-huh. So how would that... And he seems to be a traditional guy, but I guess he was... No, no, I'm talking the new rabbi. But evidently he didn't have time to get a proper smicha. He went to... fascinating. But you see... No, I understand. You're out years. But you see what happens. Life changes. Your body changes. And it's fascinating, and that's the tour. Halacha l'maisa, if anyone asked me today in the year 2019, I absolutely believe that when the Sofrim do the triple check, when something is finished, they have to have a triple check. At least one or two of the three should be by computer. There's no question that the computer can do a job that a human cannot. Morty Tarragon told me, I believe on Thursday last week, that he checked it out, that the computer, they have programs that they can pick up the letters attached. Remember I said to you, that's the hardest thing for a computer to pick up. You can pick up a missing word, you can pick up a missing letter, but they have programs, and he told me that he knows a Sofer Rehovot who adjust the computer program. Sometimes it goes slow, sometimes fast, but you can get a pretty accurate printout. But one test must be by human beings. Lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharet. And that's what I would paskim l'halacha.
Talk about computers. 10 days ago, we were in Golan, visiting a shul, 1,500-year-old shul.
Right. I read about that.
Okay. Now, earthquake at that time, totally
demolished it.
Yeah. With a computer, they were able to get the stones, pick them all up, and put them in a proper way, plus the Aron Kodesh.
Fascinating. Okay, so I can tell you without going into great detail, because I don't want to be arrested. Some of you know I was involved in some top security with the Israeli army. What the computer can do to recreate a battlefield from years ago, before you had this ability, it's beyond words. What you can do with a computer to go in from the sky and wind up looking at the ground to be able to tell whether there was a body buried there, whether the ground was dug up and refilled again. So no, I don't want to minimize what a computer has done. I need not go any further. All the svarim, the indexing, what's available. And just last night, one of the people, one of our guests, who's a shul president, he comes from, but we go back a long way. I don't go into more detail, I'll start to cry. His daughter was a dear student of mine, and the family was going in Aliyah, and she had a growth on the brain, and it was benign. But they said in Chicago, let's operate before she goes to Israel, because we're probably on a higher level of medicine here. She never got off the operating table. A young lady in her maybe 20, 21, breaks the heart. Anyway, it's not simple when you lose a child.
The best computers is artificial intelligence.
Okay, no, I understand. There's been a whole world opened up. And we were talking, and he said when he needs entertainment, he goes to YouTube. And if I'm saying you're right, and he types in Buddy Hackett, if I have the right name, he was
Hackett.
He was a comedian, a Jewish comedian. I didn't know his home was kosher. He came from proper stock. His wife too, she was an actress. Their home was strictly kosher. But could you imagine? I say you go to a YouTube, type in the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You won't believe what you can pick up on YouTube. And I hate to tell you this, type in Aaron Rakefet. You can videos of me giving you, I have no idea how they got it. What a computer. It has negatives there, but all life has negatives. That's why I'm so opposed to raising the kids to scream, to shmeen, to uvachata b'chaim. A kid has to be told you have free choice to be a tzaddik or to be a rasha. And it's up to you. This is what life is all about. I hope you'll find good role models and make the right decisions. My dear students, so we have this tremendous earth-shaking machloket between the Baba Rebbe and Rebbe Menashe Klein, the Ungavar Rav. Now, let's take Rebbe Menashe Klein's position. What do you say? Every innovation is forbidden? What if you come up with a finer mesa, a better knife than the knife you had before? What, it's forbidden? Every innovation, we just got to live the way we lived 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. You'll see Balei Tshuva at the Kotel occasionally walking around in clothes like Avraham Avinu. That's part of the syndrome. I call it the Jerusalem syndrome, the Baal Tshuva syndrome. I've seen it. I don't want to make fun of them. But believe me, I'm not going to walk around like Avraham Avinu. I'm very happy with the dress I'm wearing. Would there be an innovation where everyone would agree, Yitzchak, we have arrived? There is one halachic question which has haunted us for hundreds and hundreds of years. And there absolutely was no solution. And it's a pathetic, a shocking, a heartbreaking. You can be a yekka with very little emotion, you also will cry. And today we absolutely have solved the problem. And I refer you to a sefer that just came out this year, Shele Tutshuvat Minchat Asher. It is by our dear Reb Usher Weiss, should live and be well. Chelik Gimel.
Three
chalakim are out. This is the third chelik. Siman Ayin Chet. And here's the question, and this question repeats itself. You see sources afterwards within his tshuva, it repeats itself many times over. Last night, when we are talking around the table, this rabbi, Reconstructionist rabbi, Orthodox conversion, and we tried to find out why he converted. Interestingly enough, his parents belonged to some Swedish church, and I told him my topic last Monday was Sweden, and this Monday will be. He got all excited. I explained to him what I'm speaking about. So, and the kids were raised with very little religion. He told me older brothers went this way, this one went that way. Some had no religion whatsoever. And he became a Jew. So I said to him, you became a Jew? What, are you crazy? And the hostess got upset with me. Aaron, what are you speaking like that? You know, she was a principal of Ida Crown Day School. She's all excited. I said, this is an open Gemara. What do you want out of me? And the rabbi who converted said, yes, that's exactly what the rabbis told me when I told them I want to convert. So we have to discourage them. Yitzchak, we're kibitzing Saturday night, 10 o'clock at night. What do you want out of us? Please. We're kibitzing. So now, how many of you have met converts, have dealt with converts? Yitzchak is an expert, but I've also met converts over the generations. There's some converts that the Gemara says, Kashin Geirim Li Yisrael Kesapachat. And all the Rishon, what does it mean? And the basic shot is very simple. That take a look in the world today, we have 14 million Jews, let's say, 12 million, 11 million are Machalalei Shabbos. No, you have converts who are so medaktek in mitzvot, tzaddikim, tzidkaniyot. I remember I was in Las Vegas, skull in residence in a shul, and my brother, I visited my brother there. I have a brother-in-law in a suburb of Las Vegas, and in this shul, they're black ladies, Afro-Americans, converts, tzidkaniyot. You look at them, you feel so inadequate. Who am I? What am I? I saw Torah all my life. I was Mishamish Gedole Yisrael. And here, look at these women, look at these comments. It's overwhelmed, beautiful. No, here you have a young man, and it repeats itself many times, and he wants to convert. I have a student, I actually, they came to see me. I'm just trying to think in what community. In Edison, New Jersey, East Brunswick. They came to spend Shabbos with me in East Brunswick. And here's this girl comes, her brother learned in Akoto, she studied with me, and here's her husband, an Afro-American, a Talmud Chacham, Yereva Shalem. And I remember conversations with him decades ago. I said, how did you come to Yiddishkeit? And he told me. His parents are both professors, very elegant, very established, very successful Afro-American family. And he said his parents went to church every Sunday. And in high school, he said he wanted something more than just Sunday. I remember growing up in a Catholic neighborhood. They went to church 10 o'clock mass. They were home by 11:15. That's it. The afternoon, they have beer and pretzels. They're watching the football game of the week. Where's the religion? It's 1 hour? That's the whole religion? So he searched. And he concluded the only religion we have in the world that is full time is Torah Hashem. And he converted. And you should see who he is today, his wife, the children, Kanayin Hara. So here there's someone who desperately wants to convert. He fell in love with the Jewish people. He fell in love with the land of Israel. There's one problem. A problem that hemophilic, if I'm pronouncing it right, if there's any blood loss, he's besakonet nefashat. Now, if it's a woman, there's no problem. A woman goes to mikvah. What's the problem? She's Jewish. But a man who is an Arel, how can you convert him? You can't do a Brit Mila. Brit Mila, sakonet nefashat. An Arel. How can you convert him? Can go to mikveh from today to tomorrow. He can be makabel mitzvot as if to speak from today to tomorrow. But if you can't do a brit milah, there is no conversion. And this problem is solved today. It is unbelievable. And I take you back to my own life. I remember when my grandparents had cataract operations. They were hospitalized, as I recall, for 2 weeks. I remember they weren't allowed to move for like a week after the operation. They had to keep their head one place. I can't have another cataract operation. I have had two. You dance in Monday morning. By Tuesday morning, you're driving your car again. You don't feel anything. How did they do it? Laser. Right or wrong? A whole new development. Could you imagine doing a Brit Mila with a laser operation? No blood. No wound. The whole process. It's beyond words. You can kill someone with a laser gun if you see nothing. No blood, nothing. You just shoot him. Tanks today. What goes on? My son-in-law is a laser, optical laser graduate of Mechon Lev. He was in the army 20 years, weapons development. He won the highest award, Salash Akka, for his work on Merkava 2, Merkava 3. You know my son-in-law. Tall, he lives down the block from you.
Well, he retired as a full colonel.
He reached the point where the army tells you can't go any further. You retire, new blood comes in. That's the way the army works. I have a grandson who's getting married now, and next summer he goes into officers training, and that's it. He already did basic, and he'll be in the army at least 5 years, 7 years, I think he owes them. He was an Atudai. So who knows how many years he'll be in, but he's in a different field. He's in Handasah Hashmalit. We'll see where the army places him. He was interviewed by the Tank Corps, by the Navy, and by the Mossad, I believe. Three different, they have to see where they need him the most and where he fits in with what he majored in at the Technion. So the laser, it's beyond words. And here you have a solution. Now tell me, when were you at a Brit last? Anyone at a Brit? There was a Brit this Shabbos. The Hochstein family had a Brit pass this Shabbos. No, what does the Mohel use to do the Brit? Moshe, you've been at a Brit recently? A little knife, right or wrong. Sterilize it and do the Brit. Ah, Chaim, tell me, must you use a knife? Is it required? Did we Umav Sedra yet? What Sefer are we beginning next Shabbos? Why are we beginning it already Shabbos afternoon? We've already read from it. Parshat Shmot, right or wrong? What happens in Parshat Shmot? We have a Mohelet, Tzipora, right or wrong? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mad at Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't do Mila for their son. He was worried. Moshe Rabbeinu was worried about the Derech, the kid. It's not good, a long journey. She does the Brit Mila. She didn't use a knife. Open Pasuk in the Torah. So you see, you don't need a knife. It happens. Many Yisrael is today, we use a knife. But the Halacha, I'll give you the sword. Very, you can use a rock. You can use anything that will cut. Anything that will get rid of the Arla. So if you can use any type of implement, Allah at Kama Vakama, you can use the laser method. What's your problem, Yomo?
The problem is we say, B'demai Chayi, B'demai Chayi, how
can you do it? Yomo, this is a klutz kasha for a shtibel, not for a litvashi yeshiva. And if you forget to say the Maya Chayi, the Brit this and Chalam, what are you talking about? Please, you don't have to say it, you don't have to do it. But what Yomo meant to ask is that don't you need Hatafet Dam Brit? That's what you meant to ask. Forget about the Maya Chayi, but the Maya Chayi, you can do a Brit Mila Kashla Mahadrin. Without putting the cotton into the baby's mouth. Unfortunately, but the Mar Chayi is part of our heritage, our destiny. Michael, we have to say but the Mar Chayi. But Yomo asked a good question. Believe me, Rabbi Shawais asked it, Yomo. And number one, even with laser surgery, the doctors told him, and he said these are frum doctors. In the Chiv, he says these are among them Urayim Vishlamim, that there is a drop of blood. It's inevitable because there's a cut, something is happening. But that blood is so little, it's not misakking the individual. That's number one. And number two, you all know, b'diyeved could very well be, we don't need hatapet tamprit. That's a machlekes Tosfot, the Bahag. It's a machlekes, but b'diyeved, where you can't do it, it certainly is not ma'akev v'keiret. Okay, so here's the question. It's very moving, a very, very moving tshuva. A young man, 20 years of age, that came on Aliyah 10 years ago from Eastern Europe. For all we know, he came from Kiev. From all we know, Yomo knows the family from the Ukraine. His mother, listen to this, this is the beauty of the Russian return to the Jewish people. I hope in January, I'll announce as soon as I know, there'll be one day when we'll have a number of Russians visit this class, something I'm sponsoring, bringing over like 15 young people from Russia who are Moscow University graduates, a trip to see Israel, not only touring, but classes in Russian as well, and we'll bring them here. It's very important for other reasons, because fundraising, people in America have to see my crooked nose involved with these wonderful youngsters. So you never can tell. Last time we did this, there are people living in Israel today, Urayim Vishlamim, 100% as a result of the visit to Israel. So we have a miracle. The Iron Curtain fell, and the mother, 6 years ago, converted. Evidently, they were Jewish with some slight Jewish blood in them. They weren't Jewish halachically, but you all know that if you have one grandparent who is Jewish, the entire family is eligible for Aliyah. It's called Zera Beit Yisrael. There's a tshuva from Shmelkes, the Beit Yitzchak, that we have an obligation to Lekarevotam. These people who have Jewish blood, Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, by the way, was Nat Lewin's great-grandfather. That's who we're talking about. The Reisha Rav's father-in-law. And Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, we have an obligation, Lekarevotam, and not to tell them, are you crazy? You want to be Jewish? Here we have to warm them up to Yiddishkeit. So the mother converted, and Rav Asher Weiss describes her, she is a Giyoret Tzedek, Medakdeket Bakala Kachamura. Halavai, Rav Asher Weiss would say that about me, that Aaron Rakepet is Medakde Kala Kachamura. And the son sees his mother, and he decided to learn. And for 2 years he has studied Yiddishkeit. He could be in the Tiv, in the army. It's possible, because if he's 20, 2 years would be the years he's in the army. 18, 19, 20. In the army they have a conversion program. It's called Nativ. And it's a very powerful program. No one is forced to go to it, but if they want to, they go out of their way. And at times the success is unbelievable. When Rabbi Weiss was chief rabbi of the army, in his memoir, he writes about one lady, I think also from the Ukraine, that she appeared before the Rabbanim, and she was so powerful in her beautiful words of love for Yiddishkeit that he had to excuse himself and go outside to the misdaron, I don't know how to say that in English, to the hallway, and he cried. He was moved to tears by her. So you can have here this kid. He wants to convert. He wants lekabel al atzmo ol malchut shemayim and likanes lebrit. So then they did. Can they want to do the brit milah? And they see in his medical records that he suffers from hemophilia and brama chamura unedira. So much so, now you all know that in every hospital in Israel, there are religious doctors who volunteer, who do Brit Mila, do conversion. They don't get paid for it. But these are religious doctors, when they're finished, like 5 o'clock in the evening, they have converted, done Brit Mila on tens and tens and tens of thousands of Russians. Shari Tzedek, Hadassah, down in Beersheba, up north in Rambam. It's Baruch Hashem. They've done wonders. So He says, Rabbi Asher Weiss says, he was examined by doctors, and among the doctors, Beinehim Yereshamayim, and they all agree he cannot do a Brit Milah in the regular fashion. And he goes on, and here he tells a very interesting story that a Ravin in Europe, this is before the world was destroyed. So there was the Litzke Rav, Rav Zalman Strutsky. Make believe you've heard the name, the ignorant should pass for the wise. He was one of the great Rabbanim who survived the Holocaust. He was with the chief rabbinate in Israel, a very known rabbinic figure. Oh, you recognize the name. It's his grandchildren today in Tel's Yeshiva. Rav Baruch Strutsky, who died young, that was a grandson. If you're following the news with Tel Stone, the Rosh Yeshiva there, who was involved with the Big Machloket with El Al, who spoke out to El Al with the flight on Shabbos, was a great-grandson, Strutsky, recognized the name. It's a well-known rabbinic family. I davened 50 years ago in El Rivka, one of the regular people was Rav Strutsky's son. He was a writer. He was, I would say, poli agudat Yisrael. Rav Strutsky was agudat Yisrael, but very open. This was an agudat Yisrael, very open to what I spoke about before. These were Haredim who embraced Eretz Yisrael. His son, I remember, published a book at the Chai Anim of Akesh. He wrote for the newspapers, left a very eminent family. He's no longer alive many years. I remember him very well. Litvisha, clean shaven, but Litvisha, Talmud Chacham, Geret Litvisha Yiddish. It was, brought me back to my youth. And so Rabbi Baruch Trotskin writes how some Rav in Europe published the Sefer, and he deals with the question of a kid wanting to convert, and they can't do a Brit Milah, and he's trying to malamit zchut, maybe we can still convert him, maybe be the Yevid is no different than a woman. And Rav Zalman Strutsky, I'm saying, but Rav Zalman Strutsky said, wrote to him, cross out what you wrote, and because it doesn't get off the floor. And he quotes sources, who was this person? It was Rav Mordechai Dov Eidelberg, who was the Av Beit Din of Nikolov in White Russia. That's a town of Chabad as well. And you should know, when Rav Zalman Strutsky told him, cross it out, you can't write this, he taka writes in his sefer, when it was published in the index, he adds to it that a great Rav told him it doesn't get off the ground, and therefore what he wrote is rak pilpul bi'alma, but not halacha l'maseh. And then he quotes the Sri Deyesh, and then he quotes the Achieza, and all of them reached, and he quotes the Tzvi Pesach Frank, and all of them reached the same conclusion, that there's no way you can be makabel someone who needs a Brit Milah. He's not a woman. A woman has a big advantage. All she has to do is go to mikvah. But his going to mikvah will accomplish nothing, because an arel remains an arel, and an uncircumcised person cannot convert. And then at the end of the first part of the tshuva, he writes, but on the other hand, me'idach gisa, standing before us is a young man who with all his heart and soul wants to come into the Brit of Bnei Yisrael. And here he says, this person wants to be a Get Tzedek. And with all that we do to discourage Gerim, we're not allowed to discourage someone who with all his heart and soul wants to be a Get Tzedek. And now he begins the second part of the tshuva, what he calls Bet, and he says, yes, we have a miracle today. Karen Or Laser, a new invention. And this Karen Or, it cuts at the same time, and it congeals the blood. In other words, you will say, if you're cutting, there has to be blood. It congeals the blood. The Hebrew word, let me give it to you, The energy of the heat of the X-ray and Karen Ha'ar Pawelet Pulak Fula Chituch Utsliva. The cut and Sliva, I would translate congealing, unless there's a better medical term. Anyone know? But that's the way I would interpret it. And since it does both, it should be perfectly okay for mitzvah mila. And here he goes into the whole question, do you have to do a knife? And he quotes the Rambam, Perek Bet, Hilchat Mila, Halacha Aleph, U'bechol Malin, Afilu Bitzua, U'beskuchot, U'bechol Tava Shekoreit. And the Rambam Paskins LaHalacha, you can use a rock, you can use a stone, you can use glass, anything that cuts. There is no halacha that you must use a knife. And as long as it does the job, it is kasher. And he goes on and on quoting sources and quotes a Gemara in Shabbos, Amar Reb Natan, that a woman, he traveled to Medinat Kopatkia. I don't know where that is, but Rebbeim also always used to say it's Africa. I don't know whether it's correct or not. That you'd have to go into the Svarim of the Chachmei Yisrael, like the Carpathia.
That's
Carpathian
Mountains,
Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia, you say? All right, I'll accept that. But I meant my Rebbeim used to say Africa. Fine, whatever. I don't know if it's like a Carpathian Mountains, but we have to do research. But fine, Carpathia, fine. You Rabbi Ruth. All right, we'll have to check with Professor Shmuel Krauss. Let's go back to Vienna, 1920s, and check with him. Okay. And a woman came, and they did a brit mila on her first son. He died. On her second son, he died. And now she brings the third son to him. And he looks, and the kid he sees is green. I don't see that he has blood. And I told her, we gotta wait, let him grow older, let him develop a blood system. And she waited, and then we were able to circumcise him, and he lived, and she called him Natan Hababli, in my honor, named the kid in my honor. And what does it mean? He didn't have blood. So Rashi explains that he didn't have blood, meaning there couldn't be Hatafatam Brit. His blood was not yet developed. And if so, we see that drawing blood is a factor. And how can you do a brit mila if the laser will not bring forth blood? And here too he says, this is lachatchila, b'diavad it shouldn't matter. But I checked with the doctors and they told me that anshei refua v'yemohalim mumchim, and all of them told me that there is a drop of blood even with a laser, and there is no problem. Afilu lachatchila, the laser would be good with the Hatafatam Brit as well. Then he raises a different question. How many of you are Mohalim here? How do we have Mohalim? So what's involved in a Brit Mila? There's Mila and Priya. There's the cut and the drawing back of the skin. Now how does the Mol do it? The cut he does with the knife. The skin he does with his fingers. Did you ever watch how they do it? Very quickly, they draw back. They have an instrument too that's used. That's questionable whether it can be used, can't be used. It seems lachatchila they try not to use it, but b'diavad it's certainly okay. But with a laser, the mila and priya happen instantaneously. It's one act. It cuts and pushes everything back. Is that good? Absolutely. That the whole concept that we do Mila and Priya one after another is because this is simply the way the Mila works. But we find the tshuva, and he quotes from Rav Haigom, this is a tshuva already they found in manuscript, he gives you the source where it's published, that in Bavel, the minhag was to do it instantaneously, together, one act. So here too, you see that maybe minhag Yisrael is to do a Mila and Priya and to do it slightly separate, one after another, but b'diavad, there is certainly no she'ela that if it's done together, the Mila is chal 100%. And therefore, he paskins lahalacha, sof daba, yesh la mu gezel yedei keren leysa lachatchila, ulahachniso lebrit to shel Avram Avinu tachat Kanfei Hashchina. And my own feeling, Reb Menashe Klein would agree 100%.
Here,
Metzitza doesn't enter the picture. Metzitza has nothing to do with the Dindi or Raita, with the Mila. Metzitza is a Gemara in Shabbos for the health of the child. And nowadays, where you know that Metzitza can be harmful, draw your own conclusions. We're not paskining for Satma. All I can tell you is, in my family, whenever there's a Brit, I tell them to use the tube. Like the Rav, like Rav Chaim Briska, like Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, like Rav Shmuel Shrofal Hirsch, and the list goes on and on. Alachat kama v'kama, when there are cases of people who lo aleinu infected the child died. You have to, it's like a measles vaccine. Do you know how many cases there are in Lakewood today? Hundreds and hundreds of cases of measles. How people could be so stupid not to vaccinate their children? Beyond my comprehension, that's all I can say.
Is there a possibility next year we should all be helping and you'll do Shadows and Chumas by Mitzvah Sasher?
No, I say they will throw them in when necessary, relax. But Reb Menashe Klein, nothing compares to Reb Menashe Klein. You'll see you'll see what's coming next. The questions he got from the Satma to Yeshiva University.
Right, you almost have a lecture on the chaplain.
Yes,
I
have.
Yeah.
How do you Menashe Klein to Rav Moshe as far as being a posse?
Listen, Rav Moshe was more universally accepted. Rav Menashe Klein, certainly in the Hasidic world, everyone turned to him. In the Litvish world, why you turned to him, Zutels turned to him, as we saw. The Shiloh with the Erev, even Lakewood turned to him. A thousand years from now, you'll ask me the same question, and we'll be able to answer you more accurately on the basis of who's quoted more a thousand years from now. You follow? He's a major posek. But Rav Moshe certainly had a bigger reputation. Rav Moshe was zeicher, and certainly in the Litvisher world, although I have to tell you, when I learned in Lakewood, I can still remember, hurts me to say it, but they say, Rav Moshe Matitzer. You know Yiddish? It was a play on words.
But, Rav Shach, the Rosh Yeshiva from Panovich, was a posek.
No, he was not a posek. Rav Shach.
I always thought.
No. Rav Shach, Rav Yashiv was more of a posek. But when we talk about a posek in writing, you have to see Shelet and Shuvah, you have to have material. Rav Shach was a Rosh Yeshiva, the Rav was a Rosh Yeshiva. Where do you find Shivat from the Rav? Show me with all this from that came out.
He refused to be a posek.
Not refused. It wasn't in his upbringing. You understand? Rav Chaim Briska, show me a sefer of Shelet and Shivat. Doesn't exist. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik.
Say about Rav Soloveitchik.
No, Rav Chaim published his children published on the Rambam because he Chidushim, but that's Litvish. The Psak Rav Avadya Yosef was the classic posek of our generation. that he was mamish, like a walking computer sock. You understand? Rav Avadya, something phenomenal. But each one has his own specialty. You can imagine the Lubavitcher Rebbe, had he not been the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and would have been a Rosh Yeshiva with his innovative mind, the Chiddushim would have been unbelievable. As is what they pull out of his Sichat, Rashi, and the Chiddushim here. But the Rav was the Rosh Yeshiva. Each one had a separate area where they shone. But in my humble opinion, Rav Menashe Klein would have agreed. Now, let me go one step further. So, Baruch Hashem, we have finished out what we began with the computer. Jack, from this point on, $99,000 linked to the shekel on the IOU list. We're hitting a problem that very serious, very delicate. It involves our relations with the non-Jewish world. And it's a modern problem. It's not a problem that you will find many sources for in the halacha, although it goes back to a configuration of one gemara, basically, one esoteric gemara with many different interpretations, and from that gemara we have to extrapolate halacha lemaisa, what to do today. In order to talk about this halachic problem, I have to give you, end off the class, with just a drop of historic background. We Jews are famous because we don't agree. You all know the joke that they landed on the moon and they found two shoes there, and with one Jew, and they asked the Jew, how come you need two shoes? He said, the one I daven in and the one I don't daven in. So machlokes, and this is a very healthy part, I have to say, when you study the first Mishnah, you introduce a kid to Mishnah. Mei metai karein et hashma shel avid. Right, already in the first Mishnah, there are three different opinions. I remember when I was a kid in Solanta, right away, this story I'm telling you now actually became a big fundraiser for the Jewish agency, believe it or not. And they called me to testify and to write it up. Well, the story is very simple. We're going to Yeshiva Solanta. This is World War II was on. The teachers, I don't know if any were really Shomrei Shabbos. Could you understand what I'm saying? And if you don't believe me, I once said this, I wrote about it, and from Chicago, Harry Merrillis in his blog says it was exactly like what Rabbi Rakefet describes in the day school in Chicago at that time. These teachers were European immigrants who learned Gemara in their youth, who tried to make a living in America, and they all went bankrupt, they all failed. So what could they do? They taught in their day school. They were learned, they spoke Hebrew, they were Zionists, but the Tziful Frimkeit hat nicht gewinnt. Now, in fifth grade, I had a teacher, Mr. Perach. I think his original name was Peacock, and he hebraized that. I don't know if he did it legally, but we knew him as Mr. Perach. And he was a wonderful Zionist, a wonderful teacher, loved students. Again, I'm not evaluating his frumkeit, but Daila Hakima. And here we are, American kids, and fifth grade, they're introducing us to Gemara. Now, if in Israel, this is one of the big problems, that how do you get a kid excited to learn Gemara, right or wrong? Read the biography, read the book that just came out on Rabbi Lichtenstein and discussions in the Torah world here of the Mizrahi element. And there were Rabbanim who said, don't teach the kids Gemara, they're not interested. Ad kedei kach. So an American kid, fifth grade, in the Bronx, where there's kimat nishtash abretul Yiddishkeit, you're going to teach him Gemara. Hey, the Mitzvah Tzol Melech Hayav Lahachriz. And Mr. Perach said to the class, boys, I'll get you interested. Abayai Rava, it's a boxing match. Joe Lewis versus Joe Walcott. Abayi wins one round. Rava wins the next round. Tashma. That's what Gemara is about. I have to tell you, a day has not gone by in the 75 years subsequently where I haven't opened the Gemara. And I owe it to Mr. Perach. How did this become a fundraiser? Mr. Perach had children who succeeded and became very wealthy. When he died, somehow the Jewish agency got hold of him, and somehow the Jewish agency, I guess it was Torah Culture, they knew what I said in class 40 years ago, 30 years ago, whenever it was. They called me in to write a letter to the children and to tell the story, and they sent down, they got a big donation in their father's memory. They dedicated something in Israel in memory of the father. So this little story played a role. Now, there's always machleket. So now let's take, you all know in Israel today, there's the chief rabbinate and there's Tzoha. There's the chief rabbinate's heksha and there's Tzoha's heksha. People are always fighting, undermining, doing. No, ein chadash tachat hashemesh. You will see in my Monday class, we'll come in to, we're now finishing up Far Hatzalah, very interesting class tomorrow, dealing with Sweden yet. And then we come back to post-World War II Orthodoxy, Agudas HaRabbanim. And then we shift gears and we come into the Rabbinical Council of America. I'm a member. Yitz is a member. Are you a member, Dov?
Yeah.
You're a member. We have three members. We have them dated in writing clear. I'll see you. Ah, Michael, do you think the Rabbinical Council has a monopoly? American-trained rabbis? Yes, it got off the floor the mid-30s, amounted to nothing. By the 40s, it started to grow. Your father was a member, your uncle, right or wrong, a big, big
president.
What are we talking about? And by the 50s already, there are graduates of other yeshiva in America. Why do we have to be RCA? RCA represents Yeshiva University. Represents Hebrew Theological College in Chicago. New, where did you go to high school, Chaim? Hebrew Theological College. And these graduates of Torah Vadas and Lakewood and Nei Yisrael who find themselves in the rabbinate, why do we have to associate with these icebox, with these compromisers, with these innovators? With guys like Rakefin and Rubin claim they're rabbis, I don't see beards on their faces. I don't see payas behind their ears. Wait a minute, what's going on here? And they organized their own rabbinical organization. Give me the name. Rabbinical Alliance of America. And the Chaim, I don't know if you're aware of this, the rabbinical, over the years, RCA became much bigger, much stronger. And Rabbinic Alliance, you might think it remained on paper. Do you know that it's resuscitating itself today? Do you know that there are people from RCA who are fed up with RCA? It hasn't been strong enough in condemnation of Chovevei Torah. It hasn't been strong enough in their support for the right wing in Israel. I'm telling you what I know. This is live information right now. They don't come out. They haven't supported Trump enough. They're afraid of getting involved with Balabatim who are against Trump. What Trump has done, he's recognized Jerusalem. Last night, this Malava Malka was 1/2 minute from the American embassy. You know the way the hill goes up to the embassy? Right on the side of the hill, their homes? That's where we had the Malava Malka. That's where these people live. Ah, so Rabbinical Alliance hasn't petered out. It was quiet, small. Today it's being resuscitated. Why am I telling you all this? RCA, Rabbinical Alliance. Because at a certain point in the late 50s, the American Naval Reserves announced They are looking for volunteers who will come and join the military forces, make their contribution to America, show their appreciation for the great American democracy that took in immigrants from all over the world. Just think, Dov's parents survived Hitler, Dov's uncle, his father, Shanghai, America took them in, and Dov grows up a free young man in the United States. You are America. Come and register. Baruch Hashem, just listen. So what's wrong? Jack is thinking, so what's wrong? What's wrong? When do you have to show up to volunteer and start the process? On Saturday morning. And the RCA came out with a protest. It's like they hold elections on Shabbos, like they hold primaries on Shabbos in New York, New Jersey. You can't get away with it. People yell, they're from Jews. You don't want to take away their right to vote. And this goes on and on, you know, by mistake. The Gentiles mean well. So they pick the day for this event that happens to be Tisha B'Av. How can Jews come Tisha B'Av? They're fasting, they're in shul, they're saying kinnis, they're talking to their family in Israel, etc., etc. Ah, so the Rabbinical Alliance now has a problem. The RCA is protesting. But wait a minute. From that protest, what do we see? It's permissible. It's wonderful. Join the Navy. Join the Army. Are you allowed? You're going to join up. You're going to have to work on Shabbos. Who knows what Averot you will do? And this leads into the whole question, and it falls over not just the Naval Reserves, the chaplaincy. The United States Army needs Jewish chaplains. Make a career out of it. Do pay obligation. Respect your country. Worry about the Jews in the service. Well, you're going to join the chaplaincy. Who knows with Kashrut? Who knows with Shabbat? Who knows with mikvah, women, parat mishpacha, where will you be stationed? You're no longer a free man. You're a soldier, a commitment to take orders and follow orders. Is it allowed? So this little story opens up a Pandora's box that goes one of the longest chibbutz Reb Menashe Klein has written, who he wrote it to, what he says, the sources. And that leads us into the longest tshuva we have in our hands. Talk about a posek, Mori Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. And by the way, Chaim, I suffer when I read the tshuva because the Rav wrote it in English. So I suffer when I read the Hebrew translation because it doesn't equal the Rav's English. You follow? Either way, losing out. My dear student, Yashikaya, go to your Daf Yomi and just Besorah Tova, the Lane of Al-Kol Yisrael. I mean, before we hit the freebies, what did we do today? Be'ezrat Hashem, we did okay. We dedicated the shiur. It should be a schut for Steve Bressler. It's God should be kind and in the schut of our prayers and everyone's prayers and his own schut. Should have refuah shleima. I need not tell you, he's quite ill. And that's why he wasn't here last week. I wondered, but I figured, because he always calls me when he didn't come. But you know, there's so much else in life with...
He took a turn for the worse.
He's in intensive care. I don't know what's happened. They did dialysis on Friday. Scheduled dialysis.
They doubled them every morning.
Right, the kidneys collapsed, and I understand the lungs also a problem. And you need a refuah, you need chazdei shemayim, because when the systems start to go down, it's very difficult. Nekavele tov, Shlomo Zalman ben Yedel, refuah shleima b'karov. we finished out the machlekes between the Bava Rebbe. It's amazing, just the opposite of Renasha Klein, and that tour is very important. Unfortunately, it's a reality. When I was younger, I used to get upset when they said Nidma'atu Hadorot, but when I'm older, I understand what they're saying. Believe me, I understand. I go out, I bundle up, I'm not used to the cold. You see, people laugh at you. What? This is cold. The way we grew up, this is nothing. But all right, the human being remains a human. I said a few words of introduction. Next week, you'll understand why I spoke about RCA and Rabbinical Alliance, Igud HaRabbanim. Tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, it's a very interesting follow-up to last Monday Shia. I saw a lot of people, there was a lot of emotion that people took away from it. In other words, it hit home, the girls talking about their experiences. And I want to talk about the Jacobsons. I made a mistake last week. I want to correct myself tomorrow. Yitz's question, I confused two Rabbi Jacobsons, both born in Hamburg, both Yekes, both wind up in Israel, both published. But they're two different people. I'll explain myself tomorrow. Now the freebies. What's the story, man?
Rabbi Bernstein.
Ah, very nice.
I'm a delivery person.
You're the how do you know Rabbi Bernstein?
Because we're sure everyone.
Very nice.
Looks
right. He's very capable.
Excellent.
If anyone wants, this is a unique Haggadah. It's a Haggadah do-it-yourself. That you get the kid interested to write, to explain, and then they read what they wrote at the family Seder. It's one Haggadah, and there's the earlier edition, which is not as colorful, it's together. I recommend it. It's very fascinating. Here's an article that's second to none. It's an interview. It's an interview with the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion. And very fascinating, Rabbi Gigi, Rabbi Maidan, and Moshe Lichtenstein. Very, very fascinating. Now Moshe Lichtenstein says some. It's very interesting.
I have it on my computer, but I hate reading things on computer.
Yeah, neither can I. No, read it. It's very fascinating, and I don't know. Rabbi Moshe Lichtenstein says something that I wonder how the Rav would react. If you read it, let me know if you catch it. I'm curious. This article, very interesting, on the Tivat Shalom. That's fine. No, there's something which might be controversial. You'll see. See if you pick it up. The Tivat Shalom is the Shlonim Rebbe, and everyone praises the book. So here, it's an interesting article. Maybe there is a problem, and I didn't realize this. It seems he had a very negative attitude towards sex. You have to see what the article says. It's food for thought, because in our generation, I lectured on this decades ago, but I brought down the Stipler's letter, that we can't afford a negative attitude towards sex in our generation. It has to be positive. But I don't want to go into detail now, but if you hear my lecture, know what I'm talking about. Here is Oni in Israel. Take a look at this one. Yomo, what do you say? Oni in Israel. Santa Claus, Chabadnik, putting tefillin on Santa Claus. Beautiful. This Jack sent me, and I tell you, I correct myself. Leftism is not liberalism. Now tell me, this is Dennis Prager's column. And it makes the point, I said there are a bunch of liberals. The American Jew today, basically speaking, is a leftist. You can be a big rightist, as I believe I am, and I hope I'm also a liberal. Here's an interesting article from the commentator on which yeshiva and seminaries, why you students attend in Israel. It breaks it down percentage-wise. Fascinating. I wonder where BMT would be if it would still be around. And finally, the article, this Shirinkis Benjamin, on the kinder transport, pictures of girls, the whole story. The German government today is giving anyone who was on the Kinder transport a pittance. They're getting the equivalent of $2,800. You have to prove you were on. I guess children have survived, those who died already, and they will get the money. All right, I'm being summoned upstairs to my boss, my student, the commissar of this campus, Stephanie Strauss. So with this, I want to thank you all for coming. I want to also thank those listening across the wide expanse of the dynamic Jewish world. And until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya. Benjamin, were your father and mother on the Kinder transport, your grandparents?
No.
What do you reach from?